Similarly, we see the high price of war in the memoirs of VAD nurse Monica Grenfell. She was the eldest daughter of Lord and Lady Desborough of Panshanger and spent an idyllic early life before signing up to train as a nurse in her early 20s. She recalls her initial training at the London Hospital and later in France.
The days of that first session in London were nearly ending. We had all got more used to the long hours and more confident and efficient in our work. Other people we knew came as nurses to the hospital. We suddenly saw them, lost in their new uniform and in that ocean of a place, well-known faces in a new setting, and we felt vastly superior to them. I went straight to the hospital at Wimereux, and my parents stayed for 2 days in a small pension in the village. It was a Red Cross hospital, very well organised, one of the voluntary hospitals which so splendidly filled the gap until all the necessary military hospitals were organised. They were of the utmost use during the first year of the war and came in for appalling rushes of work after the first gigantic task of creating them out of nothing had been achieved. I was the only semi-trained nurse in the place. The unpaid VADs had to be 23 years old. Friends at the War Office had somehow got me out there. I think some mention of kitchen work was put on my passport. It was terribly cold inside the thinly built hospital. If I wanted to read, I used to get into bed, and most letters were written there too, with the paper held above my face. It was difficult to get up in the morning, even though breakfast was not until 7, as it was the only time one was really warm in the whole day and night. It was often too cold to sleep for some hours. The water had to be boiled up in kettles for hot water bottles, and I was lazy about this. The bath was in great demand for a scrap of tepid water. A really cold bath seemed more satisfactory to me. On Christmas Eve, there were rumours of great fighting, and any number of wounded were expected. Most were cases of frostbite who could look after themselves and were in good spirits. But there were a few very severely wounded cases too. The wards were full. Some had to sleep on stretchers on the floor. We were very busy, and the trained sisters were glad to have me. There was one head case who was delirious at times. I have never known a more charming patient. His good manners and gratitude were overwhelming. He and the other badly wounded soldiers were put in the small part of the ward on the left of the hall, which was kept as quiet as possible. In the big ward, there was a lot of noise, and it was really cheerful, for the patients were determined to enjoy Christmas as much as possible. The gramophone was played. They all loved the records of Billy Williams, and there were some good Harry Lauder records too. These war tunes evoke the past more vividly than anything. Tipperary was played, and some little time after, the head case sang it all through, quite low to himself. He had heard it as an echo through the halls and through his own semi-conscious state. There were two German prisoners in the big ward. They were badly wounded, especially the very young one, who had been shot through the lungs and was breathing with difficulty. I was called through to try to interpret for the doctor, but he was semi-delirious and kept on saying, keine Luft, kann nicht atmen. Our men were sick with him because he screamed a lot at night, but I told them it was part of his illness and that they, or I, would scream twice as loud if we had the same wound. I told them how frightfully homesick he was too. There were many tears about Weihnachtsfest, and how ill. I tried to persuade them to tolerate him, and they responded well. One man said, "All right, sister, you tell him to stay along of us," which was said very generously, though of course it was literally the only thing he could do, as he was bedridden. They were both well on their way towards recovery before they were sent to England. There was only one man in our ward who could not recover. It was heartbreaking to realise that there was really no chance for the head case. A dinner was given for the whole staff in an attempt at keeping Christmas. It was agreed that the head case could not be left, so I stayed with him. All was quiet. My special patient was sleeping tranquilly. I sat there in the dim light and had plenty of time to think. A little way off were two big wards of tired out soldiers. The silence seemed to be what they longed for. It seemed to engulf us all.
The sorrow was indeed all engulfing. On the 10th of November 1917, the Hearts Mercury reported the creation of a shrine to a gallant young officer who had died in July of that year.